Hey there, Nerd Clan. This episode of the Potterverse is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things beauty, skincare, and makeup. And it's run by me. That's right. This nerd that you listen to talk about Harry Potter. I also love to help people feel more confident and creative when it comes to their makeup and skincare. And this month, I have on sale my brand new mascara. It's my Twisted Epic Mascara. It has two wands. It is going to separate your lashes, really grab your itty-bitty lashes, your lower lashes, your inner corner lashes. Basically, if you want your lashes to be popping, This is the mascara you've got to try. You can get it at a discount by going to minutewithmary.com/discount. Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and your time turners, and let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I still don't have to wear a Hufflepuff t-shirt. We're getting closer. I will admit, we're definitely getting closer, but we got some time left here, ladies and gents. So I'm calling on you. I'm calling on the Nerd Clan. Put a call out to the nerds, if you will.
Yes.
Let's get on this. And make me wear a Hufflepuff t-shirt, because I feel like none of you puffs are banded together. I feel like if I put this call out to the Slytherins, would have been done yesterday. Would have been 2 weeks ago before I even made the call.
Whoa, you are going there, my
Guaranteed.
Friend.
Guaranteed. The puffs ain't having it.
We are currently at 483 patrons at jointhenerdclan.com. And as Blake said, if we get up to 510 patrons for as little as $2 a month, you get to make this fella wear a Hufflepuff shirt, possibly sing the Hogwarts song. Yep. Hogwarts, Hogwarts, Huggy, Huggy, Hogwarts. So you can learn more by going to jointhenerdclan.com. You also get a ton of different perks there, and it helps support the show. So if this brings joy and levity to your life, as I like to say, if it brings some lumos into the nox, then please feel free to support us at jointhenerdclan.com.
That's right.
So before we get into anything else right now, we also wanted to let you all know that I do not have my book in front of me this evening. We've got Blake's book, but I do still have a little bit of a quote that I would like to run by with you. This, of course, chapter is The Burrow.
Chapter three.
Of the Chamber of Secrets. And my favorite line from this chapter: Mrs. Weasley was marching across the yard, scattering chickens, and for a short, plump, kind-faced woman, it was remarkable how much she looked like a saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like my mother.
Right?
Like that. My mother did not mess around. I was telling Mary about this the other day. Mm-hmm. She was a sweet lady, man, and she could class it up with the best of them. But she was also a trucker at heart, man, and she had no problem ripping butts and giving you beatings. And that's what I feel like Molly Weasley is. Ripping butts
no,
and giving you beatings.
No. I don't picture this at all. And yet, you know, Molly Weasley, she has a lot of kids that she used to keep track of. Obviously, they all had different interests, and they were busy with different things, and she had to keep them all organized and fed, and goodness gracious, she had George and Fred. Which, let's be real, for her to still have two more kids after having George and Fred.
Yep.
And I like to say it that way, because it's always Fred and George, and I feel like George needs a moment to shine.
And then, but not only having Fred and George, but after having the other kids on top of that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, okay. She had all these kids who, let's be real, like, you have Charlie and Bill and Percy. I mean, you've got head boys, you've got prefects, you've got, like, some really, really smart guys.
Yep.
Another guy that's, like, really cool and hangs out with dragons. Then you've got Fred and George, a.k.a. George and Fred.
Yes. Whew. That's a handful.
They're twins, but like Fred and George and Fred, they're mega handful.
Yeah.
And then after that, she was like, you know what? If I can handle them, I can go for two more.
I got two more. It's
Let's
fine.
Do this.
Whatever. I need a girl.
That's it.
Let's go get a girl out of this one.
And they got Ron.
Oh, Juan.
Weasley is our king. Okay. So Before we get into the show, we wanted to remind you to please hit that subscribe button for the podcast. If you enjoy Blake and my podcasting, please check us out at maryandblake.com. There you can find a slew of other podcasts, Game of Thrones, Outlander, Gilmore Girls, The Leftovers, This Is Us. Trust us, we love TV so much that we've probably had a podcast about some type of show that you like. Guaranteed. In addition to Harry Potter.
Including The Crown, as a matter of fact, including The Crown. So yeah, go check out Mary and Blake. And if you don't like the podcasting, maybe you're at work and you feel like blowing it all off and you're doing stuff in secret, check out The Handmaid's Diaries. That's at maryandblake.com as well. It's something that I've been writing. Well, actually, I've completed. Now I'm just waiting for season 4 to start. And of course, if you want to see me in a Hufflepuff t-shirt on the live, or you want to hear me on the podcast app, talk in whatever fashion you want, whether it's the Hoggy Hoggy Hogwarts song or say that I'm Team Hufflepuff, whatever you guys come up with, I'll do. You got to get to 510 patrons. So go become an official member at jointhenerdclan.com. Become an official Nerd Clan member where we got tons of perks, all this great stuff that's going on, including the Midnight Sun Blake's Book Club that I just got halfway through. We are halfway through, ladies and gents. I can't believe that we're that close. So, all right, Marvin, you ready to do this?
I am, love.
Let's do it.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
So here we are. We are in chapter 3, The Burrow, in which Fred, George, a.k.a. George and Fred, and Ron rescue Harry Potter from the Dursleys. Bring them home. Molly Weasley gets mad. Arthur Weasley gets intrigued. And they hang out at the Burrow.
They just hang out, man. Taking gnomes out. Twisting them around.
Eating loads of bacon and sausage.
So
and
much
eggs.
Sausage.
All the protein. Molly Weasley may be on the keto diet. Would you like more bacon? Yes.
Here's more bacon. Would you like a stick of butter with your coffee? Here you go.
And you know what? Harry didn't have to serve the ham. And by serve the ham, I mean if you've watched the first movie, he does a terrible job.
Oh, it flops everywhere.
Like, just what are you doing, man?
Flopping all over the place.
Where's your fork? Why are you using a spatula to bring over a big piece of ham?
What's wrong with you?
Come on air. All right. So, yeah, basically, as I said in that super quick intro, we get three Weasley boys coming over to rescue Harry. And can we just take a few moments?
Yes.
I mean, I know that the title of this chapter is The Burrow, but we need to revel in the moments that happen in this grand escape, because Harry was at his low point. You know, he just had the worst birthday ever. He got a letter saying you're in deep trouble with the Ministry of Magic. The Dursleys know he can't do magic. He's really crabby. And all of a sudden he sees this freckle, long nose, redheaded person sticking his face in the bars of his window. And it's his best friend.
Right.
Ron Weasley.
Right. It's so great. I can't believe, honestly, that the Dursleys didn't wake up sooner, because they got the car that isn't, you know, in the best shape in the world.
You feel like it would be like sputtering a little bit.
Yeah, a couple of backfires.
Yeah.
And then also too, they got the rope and they're trying to pull the thing off of the house. If somebody pulled bars off my house, you can be garen-frackin-teed. I'm going to hear that.
I wouldn't.
No, Mary wouldn't. No, she's dead to the world. Unless it's one of our kids crying, Mary's dead to the world.
I mean, who knows? Maybe the Dursleys have white noise machines. Vernon may have like one of those CPAP machines. Those things are really, really loud.
They are loud.
Yeah.
And then
the
kids go downstairs, they're opening doors. You tell me those stairs ain't creaking a little bit?
Harry warned them about the creak. So let's deal with this. Okay, so they break in.
Yep.
And then they're like, come on, Harry, get in the car. And he's like, guys, my stuff's downstairs. It's locked in a cupboard. Fred and George are like, no problem, man. We love muggle lock picking. We've got this.
Right.
What? Fred and George, where'd you learn this? And Harry tells them,
how is that a thing?
Watch out for the squeaky stair at the bottom of the steps. Why do you think Harry knows that there's a squeaky stair at the bottom of the steps?
Well, you know, when you know your house, there's always, you know, all the little nooks and crannies of your house if you've been there for a while. All the squeaky doors, all the squeaky stair steps. Why?
Because he lived under the stairs.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
He'd be like, quiet, 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 squeak. Quiet, 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 squeak. There it is. It
wakes me up every time.
Every time. Someone wants a cup of water in the middle of the night? I'm going
to
know.
Are you one of those people that has to have a cup of water in the middle of the night?
I need to have water next to me.
I'm out on that.
I know, but I've sadly taught our children this need for water.
Oh, my God.
They'll wake up in the middle of the night. You didn't leave me a cup of water.
I need water. I've never once got up in the middle of the night and was like, dude, I'm parched. Need to go. I need some water.
Oh, my gosh.
Never once.
You know, what I loved about this, too, is so Harry's telling the twins, like, watch out. It's locked. There's a squeaky step. Harry learns how to lockpick because in the next book, he picks a lock. The
really?
Prisoner of Azkaban. You'll see. You'll see. So I think he must have been like, oh, George and Fred said this is a good idea
That's
to know this
useful.
Trick. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, they leave. They almost get caught by Vernon, who really wakes up because of Hedwig. Hedwig was about to be left. They were in such a flurry of getting everything out that Hedwig squawks loudly, and that's what wakes up Vernon.
Sure.
And then they go
not,
on
Not
out.
The bars being ripped off from the studs in your house. No, no, it's a bird.
No. And off they go in the Ford Anglia, which I just want this like turquoise old school car.
Oh, yeah, you
like
do.
If we find this car, I may need to get it. I may need to get it.
I really love how I love the struggle that Vernon has and with and the rest of the Dursleys have with Fred and George and Ron and Harry. I love the fight of it all. It reminds me of the struggle and the fight in Harry between him being number one, a wizard, and then and just a normal kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then also being Harry Potter and being a normal kid. And I also think it also lends itself to the idea that the wizarding world and the muggle world are not at odds, but later in this chapter, the Weasley father, what's his name? I'm having a blank.
Oh my God,
Arthur Weasley. Arthur says, you know, the muggles will do anything to just avoid magic. They even if staring at them right in front of their faces, they won't pretend it's there. And it's almost an unsaid tension that exists between these two worlds.
Yeah.
And for Harry, who has struggled in this family and struggled to get away from the Dursleys and struggled with the Dursleys, that him being ripped out of that house is that transition, that very hard transition from going in the Dursleys in the summer to, okay, now I'm here. Everything that that he's experienced in the Dursleys has been forcibly ripped from him so that he can go back to Hogwarts and be with his real family.
Yeah. Ron is now telling Harry, where have you been, man? I sent you like 12 letters asking you to come over and stay with me in the Burrow.
Right.
What you been doing? And this, of course, goes on to Dobby. Like, Dobby was stealing letters. How was Dobby getting these letters?
That's why I asked you last episode.
I know, but like...
You're like, it's just elf magic.
I do still believe it's elf magic, but I'm just like, Ron sent 12.
And who knows what Hermione did.
And Hagrid. Like, people be sending this poor kid letters and left and right.
It's got at least 2 letters a week.
Oof, what, seriously.
And Dobby is just out there snapping his fingers and you don't got any mail?
He's got some pretty serious magic.
Why I'm out on Dobby. Out on Dobby.
Don't. Listen, we had issues last podcast because of this. You need to chill out.
Someone may or may
However,
not have
Fred
not
says,
spoken
put
to
it
me.
This way, house elves have got a powerful magic of their own, but they usually can't use it without their master's permission. Of course, we know that this is not true.
Sure.
So they're explaining, the reason they bring this up is because they're like, what do you mean some house elf was trying to keep you from coming to Hogwarts? Maybe someone's trying to play a trick on you.
Yeah, and they immediately go straight to Draco Malfoy.
Exactly.
Which is, I think, prescriptive of this group and how they handle things.
Yeah.
Last book, the immediate reaction was to go to Snape.
Yep.
And the immediate reaction for this one is Draco and the Malfoys. And they're not wrong, but they're not right.
I mean,
either.
It is. His elf, which is kind of crazy.
Right, but they're saying that it's Draco and they're the one, he's the one that's pulling all these tricks, and Draco has nothing to do with it. You know, and neither does Lucius, as a matter of fact. It's it's Dobby working on his own to do the right thing. So you already start to see, and this chapter is actually full of a bunch of stuff that we'll get into, but you're already starting to see the narrative form.
Yes.
And especially through the lens of Harry and Ron.
Well, I think too, what's important is, like, you know, so Fred and George, they talk about how Lucius Malfoy, like his dad, he was a supporter of you-know-who, and he got into big trouble, but when he got caught, he said, oh, you know, I was just confunded or something like that. Like, right. I didn't know what I was doing. But now we're able to see how there are wizards who did go bad. You know what I mean? Like, we got to have this really merry, beautiful, fun outlook when we got to go to Diagon Alley with Hagrid, and you're a wizard and everyone thinks you're famous. And now we're starting to see that there's this interesting dichotomy. There's different classes, you know, like, oh, he must live in his mansion, you know, his manor with his house elf. It's usually only wealthy families that have house elves. Yeah, so it's absolutely starting to put it in that, like, there is different wealth. We kind of got a little bit of that from Ron during the first book, but now we're going to be seeing it a lot more specifically in this chapter.
Yeah, and not only are they dealing with classes in terms of the Weasleys and the Malfoys, but you're also included in this chapter is the Dursleys. The Dursleys are the middle class, and they're the ones who kind of are ignorant to the whole thing. I don't think that is a mistake on the author's part, by the way. I feel like the mundanity of being in the middle class and putting your head down and just trying to blend in is something that a muggle would potentially do. And, you know, the lower class being the Weasleys, but even though they're a lower class, their home, the Burrow, is full of love and friendship. It is well lived.
And meat.
With tons of kids and lots of meat. So much
all
protein.
All the breakfast protein.
So much sausage. It would make Hagrid proud.
Oh, it would.
And then of course, it's, I don't think it's by mistake either, that the Malfoys, who are, you know, have their own manor and live in this, you know, estate, if you will, and they have one child. And that is, you know, as Harry mistakenly figures him to be, he is the heir. But he's not the heir of Slytherin. He's the heir of the Malfoys. He's the next one. He's the one to step up after Lucius. So I really think that there is a big dichotomy here, something that the author is exploring pretty heavily in terms of the class system that she finds herself living in.
So they take off in this car, talking about the Malfoys, kind of filling each other in a little bit on what's happened. Ron also knew that Harry had done an illegal spell. Or that an illegal spell had been done in Harry's house, I should say.
Yes.
You know, Harry, you're not supposed to do that. You can get really bad trouble for underage wizards to be doing this. And that's, of course, how Harry brings up that it wasn't him. What's interesting is it's done by his house. Because, of course, Harry wasn't the one that cast it. It was Dobby.
Yep.
So it makes you wonder. I think I had read somewhere the author said that they only had these, like, warning things go off over muggle-owned homes.
Okay.
Like, if you are Hermione or Harry, someone who is a wizard, an underage wizard, but living amongst muggles, then it can be set off if there's magic done inside your house.
Sure.
But it wouldn't necessarily work in, say, the Weasley's house, because Molly and Arthur will be doing, and the sons who are of age, they're going to be doing the magic left and right.
Yep.
So, is this unfair that possibly, like, Ron could get away with doing a little bit of magic because an alarm wouldn't go off in his house? He wouldn't be sent a letter from the Ministry of Magic? Or do you think they're just like, no, magical kids know better, and their parents probably scared them senseless, where they said, don't do magic. You're going to end up like Seamus Finnegan.
With your eyebrows blown off.
Yeah. So maybe that's what happened.
I mean, listen, it's possible. I would say that it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Burrow.
Yeah, the Burrow is a special place, man. And it's the, you know, finally Harry, outside of Hogwarts, but not at the Dursleys, has a home. The the Weasleys treat him like he's just a kid.
Yep.
Especially Molly. I love me some Molly Frackin' Weasley, dude. Mm. Molly Frackin' Weasley. That's going to be my new shirt. Molly Frackin' Weasley. Because she gives it to her kids. And she's like, bah, 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 bah. Oh, Harry, how are you?
How are you, darling?
Here's some food. Why don't you go get some sleep? You kids have to go do some work. Go de-gnome the garden.
I do the same thing.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
I love, though, how they tried to sneak in. So they came in.
They had a whole plan and everything.
Yeah, Fred was like, okay, we're just going to go in really quietly. And when Mom asks us to come down for breakfast, we're just going to be like, Mom, guess who's here? Look right. Who just showed up last night. Like Harry just would have flu powdered in or something like that. But of course, Molly catches them right away. Mm-hmm. And she is saber-toothed tiger Molly comes on out.
She is no joke. I mean, really, no joke.
You should actually have like a Molly Weasley with a saber-toothed tiger shirt.
Oh, okay.
That'd be cool.
Or Molly Weasley with just the saber-toothed tiger underneath her. Like the name, I'm still working it out.
There's chickens everywhere.
I gotta sleep on it.
This house has like multiple additions built on all the time that Harry looks at it and he's like, I don't even know how this is standing. It's like magic or something.
Right, right.
Probably is magic, sweetheart.
It is, guaranteed. The burrow itself, it just feels warm. It feels lived in. You know, like you said, the chickens and yes. how it leans. It's obviously being held together by magic. But also, like the clock that doesn't have numbers.
The clock, which is not the clock that is in the movie. We're so used to the clock with like all the different faces. Yeah. And this is a different clock. Now, that clock does show up in the book soon.
Okay.
Probably in book four, when they're back at the house, like getting ready for the World Cup. But this one is just for Molly. It's like, time to go feed the chickens. You're late. Just as useful as the remember all. You're late.
You're late.
Thanks. How about a warning?
What? Yeah.
Yeah. For what? What did I? You forgot something.
Can't you give me like a 10-minute buzzer?
I loved Molly's books. Charm Your Own Cheese.
Oh, yeah, right?
Enchantment in Making and Baking. 1 Minute Feasts. It's Magic. That's the book I need right now. Yes, 1 Minute Feasts, it's magic.
It's magic.
Can you just picture Julia Child, like the equivalent of her, like, oh, well, you caught up an onion and bippity boppity boo. Beef bo onion. That's what it'd be. Bippity boppity beef bo onion. Whatever that word is. Bouvignon. What is that French word? That's Julia Child on the thing. Bippity boppity beef. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I don't know the word. Bourguignon.
I don't know. It's French.
Burgoyne.
No.
Bugna.
Definitely not
Buckin'
that.
I don't know. Whatever. So I'm sure one of the listeners will will correct us in a minute. I love the burrow. Actually, in one of the comments here, Tammy says, I just love the fact that the house has a name.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that the house has a name. If you could name your house, Mary, here's a quick question of the day. If you could name your house, what would it be?
Okay. Can I get back to you on this?
Sure.
Do you already know?
No, I don't.
See, I feel, I don't know yet. I'll get back to you.
I think I would just name it House Larson.
Yeah.
That would be it. House Larson.
Okay.
I think. It's not very creative.
It is not, but it's all good.
But it reminds me of Game of Thrones a little bit. Like Winterfell. Like, I would love to have Winterfell.
Well, I feel like you need like an animal house word. Like a burrow is like a rabbit or a...
No, it could be anything you want.
Oh. Well, I was just thinking it's a different word for home.
Well, yeah, but...
Like, you're not going to call it, like, the cave, you know?
Why not?
I don't know. You could.
You could. It's your house. You can name it whatever the hell you want.
I don't know.
If anybody watching us live has an idea what you would name your house, let us know.
So Molly welcomes all of them in. She gives Harry, I think, like 8 or 9 sausages. 8 or 9.
Jennifer says she named her house Neverwhere.
Oh, I dig that.
Ah, I like it. It's a Neil Gaiman book title.
So, in comes Arthur Weasley.
I love him, too, because Molly gets on him. She's like, yeah, and the car, too, huh? It's one thing if you tell your wife that you're just taking it apart to just to see how it works, but suddenly it's enchanted so it can fly.
So, and this is what you actually work against. Like, you work towards making sure witches and wizards and warlocks, which I feel like this is the only time we hear the word warlock, by the way. In this.
Yeah, you don't hear it a lot.
Why would they say this warlock? Warlock, this old warlock Perkins. Why use the term warlock if it's not a normal thing?
Tammy says beef bourguignon.
That's it. Bippity boppity beef bourguignon.
Bourguignon. Leave it to Tammy. She knows all this good stuff. Thank you, Tammy. She knows all this good stuff.
That's the cover of Molly's 1 Minute Feasts.
And I love how he's like, she wants Molly, wants him to, you know, get on the kids a little bit. And she says, well, they went flying. And he's like, and he says, well, how did it go? Right? Just, oh, man.
And mind you, these kids are 12 and 14. Like, it's not like he's like busting and throwing jokes with a 17 or 18 year old, like his older sons. Mm-hmm. These are like, you know, middle school age children who right. took the car.
Right.
To Surrey. I don't even know how far away Surrey is, but they make it seem very far because it takes a whole night to get to. And yet he's just like, how'd it go? Like, they're back here. And she does. She leans into him, which, let's be real.
She has the right to.
This woman has been fretting all night.
Right.
Okay. Her biggest fear is that one of her kids is going to die, because that's her boggart.
Yep.
Is that it's dead kids. We see this. I'm forgetting. I think it's when they're in Grimwald Place.
Okay.
But the boggart, when it is scaring Molly, her biggest fear is her kids dying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not my daughter!
Yeah. Can't use that word right now, but yes. Yes, Blake. Yeah, it would, like, keep changing. Like, she would, like, try to, like, ridiculous it, yeah. And it would just be a different kid.
Yep. Oh, by the way, I was listening to The Prisoner of Azkaban on Audible, because our kids were listening to it. And instead of pronouncing it ridiculous, Jim Dale pronounces it ridiculous.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, ridicule, ridiculous. They both kind of fit. They both work.
They both are awesome.
They both work.
Yeah.
So what was that?
No idea, but it sounded pretty. So Arthur Weasley worked throughout the night. And I don't know, does he always work the night shift? Or was it just like a really long night because they had all those different raids? I even loved how the kids talked about that teapot that like attacked somebody in the sugar tongs, like right. pinched somebody's nose. And it is very interesting to know this because, you know, it's not just people like Arthur Weasley who like to tinker with muggle things. There are dark wizards who want to do things that will harm muggles, mm-hmm. that will do this on purpose to them. So I do think that it's quite interesting. We learn about an old Mundungus Fletcher who tried to put a hex on me when I had my back turned. So Mundungus Fletcher, of course, is another character that comes up later in this series. So I like that we're just kind of starting to weave in, right, you know, right. these characters. Well,
there's a whole bunch of stuff that actually comes in this chapter that are making allusions to the future, not only of this book, but Mundungus Fletcher, you know, that he plays a bigger role in later books.
Yeah.
But not only that, we have
he's in Goblet of the Fire, Order of the Phoenix. Because in Goblet of the Fire, he's like trying to do something. He's like trying to pull a fast one on the ministry. Anyway, continue. Yeah.
Well, they have a whole bunch of things here. I mean, it is starting with the Burrow, and then Gilderoy Lockhart comes up in this book and how Molly fancies him.
Yes.
She loves herself some Gilderoy Lockhart. And who wouldn't love Kenneth Branagh? Really, who wouldn't love Kenneth Branagh? And then what else do we have? We also have the fact that the Weasleys just don't have a whole ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, like we talked about, they're in the poorer class of wizards. And Ron is so insecure, yes. about it, especially in front of Harry. And I love this when Ron, at the beginning of the chapter, says, it's not much. And then Harry says something along that's like, it's wonderful. Like,
yes, it's like complete anti-Dursleys.
Yeah, right.
Like warm and lovely and like just, yes, the kids are in trouble, but they're rightly so in trouble. Ron, when he shows Harry his room and we see the Chudley Cannons decorations and everything, Ron is nervous. Mm-hmm. And he kind of like looks at Harry and he's like, it's not as big as yours. Because remember, he just was in Harry's room
right.
that same night. So he's gotten to see what his life is like.
Yep.
And Harry loves it. And I can't help but just picture the scene in Twilight when Edward is showing Bella his room and he's like kind of nervous about it, you know, and she's like walking around admiring things, and I could just switch the characters as Ron and Harry, you know, just that nerve that you have. And it kind of reminds you of when you did, when you'd have a friend that you liked that you still kind of wanted to impress.
Sure.
And they finally came to your house, or they finally got to like learn something about you that you were a little nervous that they might think you were weird about.
Right. Absolutely. It's something that happens here, too, in the conversation between Harry and Ron, which kind of surprised me, is the fact that they just haven't talked about Ron's dad yet at all in the first book. Like, there's been no, even off page, there's been no conversation about Ron's dad and what he does for a living. And then all of a sudden, when they're in the car, the conversation finally comes up. Wouldn't you have that conversation about your parents?
So this, my love, is a great lesson for you to know as we're about to have children who are growing. Mm-hmm. Middle school age children, 5th through 8th grade, can't see past their own nose.
True. Fair enough.
And the last person they want to talk about is their uncool parents.
Good point.
To Ron, his poor dad, who has a low job in the Ministry of Magic. Yep. His dad, who works on muggle stuff, which like isn't really that hip in the wizarding world, he's not going to be like, guess what, Harry?
Yep.
You know, like it's something that, once again, people would kind of be ashamed of if they were trying to make an impression.
Here's also something that also happens too. Arthur like blatantly talks about how he's written these loopholes in the laws for the Ministry of Magic.
Yes.
So that, like, you know, I could enchant it if I didn't intend on using it.
Yes.
And Molly calls him out. You wrote that purposely.
For you.
For yes. you. It shows you also dysfunction. It alludes to the dysfunction that already exists in the Ministry of Magic.
Yes. And on purpose. Yeah.
And how people are taking advantage of it for their own well-being, as opposed to looking out for the wizards who need it. You know?
And how accurate is that, though, to be said of government? You know, I think that the author, throughout this entire series, is very like anti-ministry of magic.
Yeah.
So I think that it is interesting that, yeah, you can have this good person, or who we see as good. I mean, we all pretty much love Arthur Weasley, but he does. He bends the rules, and people are going to get in trouble for bending some rules. I loved his interaction when, like, he sits down and they were like, oh, you know, and Harry's here. And he's like, Harry who? Like, there's so many kids in this house that he doesn't even know that there's another kid there. Good Lord.
Whoa.
Is that Harry Potter?
You know, what also gets alluded to here, too, is Ginny's crush on Harry. Ginny just stops and drops everything and then runs away.
She was in her nightgown.
I know, but I'm just saying, this chapter does a lot of world building.
Agreed.
Not just for the Weasleys in the burrow and how they live, but for a lot of the things that are coming in this book and in future stories. I can't believe that as we're talking about it, like as I'm reading it, it seems like, okay, yeah, this is cute. And we're talking in garden gnomes and they're throwing them in the air and they're, you know, the garden gnomes are kind of stupid and whatever. But the heavy lifting that gets done here, just automatically setting up a crush between Ginny for Harry.
And Harry's also gentleness with her. Mm-hmm. Like, she does a couple of embarrassing things that nobody else sees, but he sees, but he doesn't like acknowledge it because he doesn't want her to feel badly, which is just another tender, compassionate side of Harry, I think.
Yep. Here's a quick note, some fun little fact about the Ford Anglia, the one that you love so much, my darling.
I do.
The Ford Anglia was a car that, the author put this in the book in honor of Sean P.F. Harris, which is the person to whom the book is dedicated.
Oh.
And the author said that he had the same car, which is a friend of hers, I guess, and they spent a great deal of time in it escaping and getting through really rough patches in their life. So it's only fitting that the Weasleys take to Anglia.
Yeah, to help him escape.
To help Harry escape some rough stuff.
A couple of things that we want to note. Percy is acting very peculiar, and this is mentioned a lot of times within this chapter, that, you know, he's got his prefect badge, and he's just in his room writing letters.
Does Percy kind of suck? Like, I'm kind of out on Percy, too. Percy kind of sucks.
So, this Percy, like, being very, very odd is supposed to be a red herring for us in regards to stuff that happens later.
Yes.
Does, you know, I don't think you would particularly like Percy, Blake.
I don't think I would either.
I don't think you'd like him because he's like a major rule follower. They tell us in this chapter that he has these goals and these aspirations of being Ministry of Magic.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. If you're... How old is he? Like 15, 16? If you're that age and you're like that really set on working for the Ministry of Magic, you're going to be a little uptight. I'm just saying.
He sucks.
I don't think he does. I don't think he is necessarily bad. I think he is ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily see Percy as a Gryffindor. They're... In these earlier chapters, okay. In these earlier books, I wouldn't necessarily be like, go Percy.
Okay.
So brave.
Fair enough. You got anything else you want to say about this chapter?
No.
No, I'm
but
good
he did. I think he does come back to help Hogwarts in the end.
Yeah, sure. So he redeems himself. He still sucks. Nope. I'm out on Percy. All right. You got a different perspective? I know you do. Come on.
Hold on. I want to make sure that I covered everything that I wanted to. Yes, I did.
Okay, good. All right. It's time for your different perspective.
Okay.
Holy cricket! You're Harry Potter! I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Chumpy, the garden gnome. Okay? Listen, man.
Get off me!
I'm just minding my business, foraging, trying to feed my family. Right? And these giants with red hair come on out. Start picking up my brother, Nick, okay? Swinging him around. He's saying, help me, help me, help me. They throw him off somewhere. My goodness gracious. I'm running for cover, but I'm short, okay? I can't see above hedges. I don't know what's going on.
Got little legs.
Oh, my gosh. Then I see my sister. Who looks like a guy, you know, it's how we are as gnomes. She's flying around. And then I overhear one of these red-haired giants telling a dark-haired giant that, like, we're so dumb that we get lost. We don't get lost, man. We just don't want to come back here for a little while until you all leave in September, like around September 1st. They're gone.
So then
they threw me. And then, you know... They walked away for a little bit.
Yeah, a little dizzy for a little bit.
Hey, how could you not?
Who wouldn't get dizzy?
Seriously.
You get tossed around 25 times.
But I still have a family to feed. Okay, so I'm going right back over there. We found a way through the hedges. Gotta feed my kids, man. You're welcome, Blake.
Oh, man. Oh, that was good stuff, Mary.
So on that note.
That was good stuff.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. So now is the time, ladies and gents, that we are going to do the listener-inspired and given questions. If you are reading, or I'm sorry, if you're listening to this on the podcast app, please, you are not alone. You are not... not included in this podcast. If you have some questions or if you have just a couple of things you want to say to us, please send us an email at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. And if you're on the live right now with us as we're recording, have your questions ready. Make sure you put a little lightning bolt in the front of your question so that way we can see it and can tell what questions are which, and we'll be able to read it from there. But in the meantime, Mary, we do have some emails that I want to get to.
Yay, perfect.
So here we go.
Oh, Miles here.
All righty. Let me bring up the emails that we got here.
Here we go.
All right, this one comes from Monique. She says, hey, guys, just listen to your wonderful live podcast and want to chime in on why Lucius gave Ginny the book.
Do tell.
I just finished doing a reread of all 7 books, and every time I read them, I see something new. And I think at this point, the Ministry of Magic was looking for questionable Doc artifacts,
yes.
And Lucius was cleaning house.
Yes.
It makes sense that he would plant the diary on Ginny because of his animosity towards Arthur for loving muggles too much and polluting their pure bloodlines. So, if he's able to get rid of something associated with dark wizards and harm the Weasleys, especially the one who's in charge of confiscating dark objects, so much the better.
Nice.
Of course, Lucius doesn't know what the diary really is, but in the name of Slytherin self-preservation, he's getting rid of it. In book 7, Bellatrix freaks out when she thinks that someone has been in her vault at Gringotts because Voldemort gave her the Hufflepuff cup for safekeeping also. Thanks so much for giving us the amazing podcast and the forum for all us Harry Potter nerds to geek out over the books. Good luck with your kids' first day of school. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We needed it. So that's that. This one comes from Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hey, guys. In the United Kingdom, pudding is the generic term for desserts. It can be anything.
No way.
So in the UK, what we refer to as pudding is actually a custard. So good luck with the kids and school starting.
So could have just been a cake or something.
Totally. But,
and
totally,
they would have just been like, this is a pudding.
Could have been a cake.
Could have been a cookie.
It's like, what do you mean? You gonna call cake a pudding? You gonna call... No, pudding is pudding. Cake is cake. It's like calling chocolate cream pie pudding. No.
Ellen Hanwright says, do you think Jason Isaacs and Julie Walters as Molly and Lucius did them justice? As the actors in the movie.
Wait, who? Oh, Jason, he's Lucius. Okay, and then who else?
And then Julie Walters, who was Molly Weasley.
Oh, absolutely. I love Jason Isaacs. I have as much of a crush on him as I do Alan Rickman.
Wow.
He is awesome, and he is great. You know, the movie itself is kind of trash, but The Patriot, Jason Isaacs is incredible in The Patriot.
A.K.A. American Braveheart.
Yeah, American Braveheart. It was written by Randall Wallace, who wrote Braveheart, by the way. So
wouldn't have been able to tell. Cassie says, In the movie, I never understood why Arthur Weasley didn't recognize Harry Potter right away in his house. Wouldn't everyone, especially adults who may have known his parents, recognize his distinct look right away? I think he was just like so tired from working all night, Cassie, and there was just a bunch of kids eating sausages that he didn't like think much of it.
Right, yeah, I agree.
Hannah says, is there a specific aspect of the Burrow that you would like most to explore or have in your own life?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Ooh.
I don't know. I think I would like the self-cleaning pots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
That'd
what I would.
That'd be nice.
I'd like to have that. Just the plates and everything just cleaning themselves.
Yeah.
Just quietly. Yep. No clanging, really. No kids running around. Just plates cleaning themselves. I'm all in.
Yeah. I honestly just want that, like, super awesome book. The one that I'm making fun, that would be Julia Child's book. The, like, 1 minute feast.
Sure.
Sign me up for that. Caitlin Marie says, housekeeping wise, what would you use magic for? Mine would be dishes and picking up toys.
Laundry. I would snap my fingers and instantly it's clean.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I could do dishes all day. But laundry? No. No, thanks. I'm out on laundry.
And Helen also says, if Lucius and Molly swapped lies for a day, do you think they'd cope?
It's kind of like that show, Wife Swap.
That show is amazing.
That show is so bad, but so great at the same time.
Gloria Costa says, if underage wizards have a tracker, how did the Ministry of Magic not know it wasn't Harry performing magic? So, Gloria, I think it's done just by the house. Like, I think Harry lives in a muggle house, and if an underage wizard lives in a muggle house, they put a tracker on that house. And because the magic was done within those four walls, even though it was by Dobby, it set it off. And they're like, the only wizard in here is Harry. So
sure.
Harry must have done it.
Right.
I assume that the same tracker is on Hermione's house. But I doubt it's, I don't think it's on wizard run houses.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
All right.
So that looks to be about it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good job, guys. Not bad.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
So much.
Yeah, so we're going to be coming back at you Monday night. Please make sure that you're tuning in live as we go over, what's the next? Is it Flourish and Blots?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
Yep, chapter 4.
Some flu powder mix up.
Oh, diagonally. All right.
Time to hang out with the Malfoys a little bit next chapter. Can't wait.
I love the Malfoys.
I know you do.
I do.
All right. On that note, Let's wrap things up.
Let's close it out, shall we?
Yeah. We wanted to remind you to take this time to sign up for our complimentary text service. This way you are alerted to whenever we're going live. As I said earlier, we're trying to always go live on Mondays and then either Wednesdays or Thursdays. So if you want to join us in live, join in the conversations on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or Twitter, you can sign up for the reminders by texting the number 81010 and in the message field at Elderwand.
And go to maryandblake.com. Check out all the great podcasts and blogs that we have going on over there. There's some really cool stuff. The Mary and Blake store is there. You check out all the great shirts that we always talk about on the show and how we're developing a saber-toothed tiger Molly Weasley. That is, I'm going to do that for tomorrow. That absolutely will happen. And if you find any joy or any value whatsoever in what we're doing here for the Potterverse, but all the other different shows that we have going on, go to jointhenerdclan.com. Get me to wear a Hufflepuff t-shirt.
Yes.
Puffs got to unite. You're letting me down, Puffs.
Oh, my goodness. You know what?
I had low expectations and you met them.
Oh, my gosh. I am called Blake. That is nice Outlander quote. Blake.
You're welcome for that
nice
Outlander quote.
Outlander quote. Wow. But oof. So thank you all very much, as always, for being a part of our community, for tuning into the Potterverse. For now, my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
Mischief managed.
You like that final little jab I got in there for all
no,
the Hufflepuffs?
I don't love it. Oh, my goodness gracious.